So now, how does that relate? We have a little problem, which is a great problem, and that's we have little children coming up in our church. And little children are great, but one thing about little children is they make a lot of noise. And so we've been sensitive to the fact that we were using that room back there to house some of our children, and it was noisy for the people back in that corner. And so to try to solve that problem, we moved all of the nursery way as far away as we could get it, so that they would be less noise. And because we want to, you know, we're willing to try anything. And having tried that, we've decided it's a terrible idea. And so we've moved the children back into this room. And so what that means is we still have a problem of noise there. So a couple solutions for you. One solution is write us a check for $1,700 and we'll soundproof that room. But actually, we'd rather you just write us a check for $1,700 that we could use to pay off our debt. We have $200,000 worth of debt, and we don't like debt. And so it's not a priority for us to spend $1,700 on that room right now. But we love you, and if you say, no, I got to have it quieter and you want to pay for it, we'll honor that. The other option is to move to one of these areas here, and you won't hear that, those children. And so just wanted to let you know what's going on. And so if you hear noise, we tried something, it didn't work, and so now we're back, just sort of, we're going to live with it. And this is one of the things, so I wanted to address this from a pastoral perspective. You know, anything that I can do, this is the grace of God, but really anything I can do to make you happier, I want to do it. So if that means I have to move, if that means I have to walk further for the nursery, however I have to sacrifice to make you happier, I want to do it. And that's the attitude that God wants to pour out on our whole church. So let's let him. There are times that we are inconvenienced for the sake of one another. There are times that we are bothered for the sake of one another. And let's just receive that and rejoice in it and do it as an honor to our King. And so when those babies start screaming, some of you feel a sense of happiness and peace and joy and contentment. And some of you feel completely annoyed. And if you feel joy, worship. If you feel annoyed, worship. Amen? Amen. I love y'all and appreciate this church. This is God's honest truth. I have never, ever pastored a more amazing group of people that is more sacrificially loving to one another than this congregation. Man, and it means the world to me. And I know it blesses God. So thank you for how incredibly patient you are with me and with the elders and with one another. And it's never going to be anything different than that. Because we need each other's patience. Amen? Amen. All right. So some of you might know what to expect this morning. First Sunday of the year. And I'm literally going to be preaching the same sermon to you for the next 20 years on the first Sunday of the year. And it's a simple sermon with a simple goal to try to convince you to read your Bible. Your whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation and to do it every year. It amazes me that there are people who've been Christians their whole lives and they've never read the Bible. And that doesn't mean you can't. Look. You're not going to go to hell if you don't read your Bible. I mean, we're saved by grace through faith. But how could we say that we base our life on a book that we haven't read? Or that we've just read excerpts from? Amen? So let's read our Bibles. It's that's sort of a basic level. I just find it shocking that we would claim to base our life on a book that we haven't read. So don't do that. Read your Bible. read your Bible every day. Or, see, that sounds so legalistic. Read your Bible regularly. Read large chunks of your Bible. Get to know your Bible. Because you're going to see, well, let me say it like this. When I was 17, in a little Baptist church in San Antonio, Texas, this T. Milton Duke got up and made just a very simple statement. He said, if you'll read 3 chapters a day, you can read your Bible in a year. And that blew my mind. I thought the Bible was insurmountable reading proposition. There's no way to read the whole Bible. That's ridiculous. When I found out 3 chapters a day and you get it in a year, I was like, I'm in. And that decision to read my Bible every year, cover to cover, has done more to change my life than any other practical decision that I've ever made. And so I just want to spend the morning encouraging you to read your Bible. So feel free to do the Bible drill with me, because we're going to be flipping through our Bible. I don't know how many references I have, probably 60 this morning. And a minute apiece, that's only an hour. So don't be impatient. So you might want to just sit and listen to them. But we'll start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm just going to read to you verses about the Bible to encourage you to read the Bible. And any one of these scriptures you could preach a sermon on. So be wary if I start preaching, because it just gets longer. The scripture is really the main focus of this message. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 and 16. I'm in 1 Timothy. I was a little worried there for a second. 2 Timothy 3, 15. Okay. I'll start in 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. The sacred writings make us wise unto salvation. Verse 16, for all scripture is breathed out by God. And profitable, so this is what will happen if you read your Bible, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Do you want to be taught? Do you want to be reproved when you're wrong? Do you want to be corrected so that you can get it right? Do you want to be trained in righteousness? Do you want to be complete? Do you want to be equipped for every good work? Read your Bible. Amen. It's good. This is good stuff. Because some of you say, why am I doing this? Why am I reading my Bible? Because of this. Because God's using it to change your life. You're not just reading the Bible. You're being equipped, trained, corrected, reproved, and made complete by God. It's a good thing. So, I have a little section on what are the scriptures, but this year I'll skip it. Next year maybe I'll come back to it. But it is important for us to understand what the Word of God is. We might think that when Paul is talking about the scriptures, that he's talking only about the Old Testament. And so there's an important scripture here that I want you to see in 2 Peter. So it's a little bit further over to the right. But the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, constitutes for us the Word of God, the scriptures. I want you to see this, 2 Peter chapter 3, 16. And Okay. Verse 14, so you can see the context. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. As he does in all his letters when he speaks of them in these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction. Listen to this last phrase, as they do the other scriptures. Peter, effectively the founder of the church on the day of Pentecost, writing to these believers here, probably in Rome, says to them that the writings of the Apostle Paul are like the other scriptures. He considers the writing of Paul as scripture, and people are distorting Paul's writing just like they do the other scriptures. So, most of you didn't need me to prove that to you, but I want you to know that we're not making this up, that the New Testament itself considers itself to be Word of God, Scripture. And so when we're reading the Bible, we really are reading the Scriptures. We're reading the Word of God. So now, what does the Word of God do? And it does so many things. I could never describe it all, but look, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's so good. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says this. For the word of God is living and active. Just think of that. The word of God is, it's not a dead book. It's living and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When you read the Bible, see, how many of you know that there's a sense in which you can't really trust yourself? You can't trust your thoughts completely. You can't trust your feelings completely. You can't even really know your own thoughts and feelings completely. We're easily deceived and quite capable of fooling ourselves and thinking consciously with one thing while primarily being motivated by something else, something sinister. Do you want to be made aware of that? In many cases, no. But you need to be made aware of it. Amen? And how can we be made aware of that? By reading the Word, which is the discerner of the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God will reveal to us what's actually going on. So that's why we read it, because we really want to be right, and we want to know we're right, and we don't want to be fooled or deceived. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13. First Thessalonians 2, 13 says, and this is again sort of more evidence of how the New Testament and the gospel of Jesus Christ is Word of God. When they preached the gospel, they called what they were doing preaching the Word of God, as you'll see right here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, this was their preaching of Jesus Christ as Messiah and bringer of eternal life and salvation, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God. Now look at this next phrase, which is at work in you believers. Which is at work. A lot of us think that perhaps we read the Word of God so that we'll be better able to do the work that we need to as believers. But that is absolutely not right. We read the Word because the Word of God is doing the work. The Word of God is at work in you when you believe. This faith part of this is not optional. If we don't believe it, the Word doesn't work effectively in our lives. But as we believe it, the Word works. Okay, that's a sermon right there. Amen. Because we want to understand that. But for now, I would say, because there's too much else we have to talk about, we have to believe it. We have to say, okay, I don't understand how it works necessarily, but here's what I know. When I read this book, and when I believe what this is saying to me, it goes to work in me. And that's great news. There are so many things that I cannot do, but the Word of God is at work. I love it. That's why I read it. Because I need help. And the Word goes to work when we believe it. It's just glorious. Okay, what else does the Word do? It goes to work. It discerns our thoughts and attitudes. Look at Isaiah 55. This is amazing. Everybody's going to want to read the Bible after this message. Everybody. The whole thing. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, this very famous scripture. Some of you probably have this memorized. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose. And succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I hope you know what a glorious purpose and plan God has for your life. Far beyond what we are willing to imagine or think. It's just this incredible purpose that He wants to accomplish in us and through us. And guess what one of the primary ways He's going to do that is? By sending the Word. And that Word is coming like rain on fertile soil, and it is causing growth, change, transformation. It cannot return back to God empty. It always accomplishes the purpose for which He sent it. So see, you know, let's read it. Knowing that God is doing this thing. He's accomplishing His purposes in our life. I guarantee you, if we had a private interview right now, every one of you, if we sat down and talked, just maybe there might be one, two, three, five exceptions in the whole room, you would say, oh no, I know that there are times when I doubt, times when I struggle, but I really want God to accomplish His purpose in my life. Read the Bible. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. There are some of you who've been carrying around kind of a rock in your heart and in your mind for decades. A rock that is resistant to the truth and reality of God, a rock that is keeping you from enjoying His blessings and walking in holiness and purity. And if you want that rock to finally be destroyed and pounded into dust and blow away with the wind, read your Bible. I have actually pounded rocks before. How many of you have ever pounded rocks? I wasn't speaking metaphorically, I'm talking physically. My granddad, T.D. Marshall, put me out on a little... Well, back in the olden days, before we had submersible pumps and all this, they used to take these old tractor engines and build a concrete pad for them and use these gasoline or diesel-powered engines to irrigate their fields. Do y'all remember those pads? Well, once they came up with submersible pumps and all those engines were worn out, grandfathers got their grandsons out into the field with sledgehammers to break those things into bits so you could load them in the truck and haul them away. And I got the joy of being, you know, the end of an era, erasing the evidence of these old engine irrigation pumps. And I wasn't old. I was like 12 or 10. And I could hardly lift that sledgehammer. But it's just incredible. You pick a spot on that concrete and hit it. Nothing happens. You might leave a little mark. But if you swing again, there'll be another mark. And if your aim is bad, it'll be, you know, for not very close to the original mark. But I all I can say is if you keep swinging that sledgehammer, you know what eventually happens? A chunk of that thing breaks off. Some of you are going to read your Bible next week expecting the Lord to break up these things in your heart that you've had in there for 20 years. And you're going to be thinking, I sold you a bill of goods, because it's still going to be there. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It is. But it's just like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And it takes time. And it takes consistency. And that's why I want you not just to read your Bible next week, but next month and next year and next decade. On the authority of the Word of God, whatever rocks that you have in there, I promise you, the Word of God is going to pound them to powder eventually. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Keep reading. Keep trusting. Turn to 1 John 2:4. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This Word, this living Word that always accomplishes God's purpose, it actually begins to take root in us, to come alive in us, and it is somehow this... The abiding Word is life-giving power that enables us to overcome the evil one. How many of you feel like the enemy is just constantly having his way with you? Got good news for you. It doesn't have to be that way. Keep taking in the Word of God, and the Word of God is living, and as that Word of God abides in you, you will be able to overcome the evil one. Look at Ephesians 6:17. Okay, this is in the middle of a great passage, the armor of God passage, but I just want to zero in on one piece of our equipment here. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so often, a lot of Christians are always in defensive posture, always in defensive mode, sort of just trying to survive the onslaught of the enemy. And I want us all to survive. And I've been in that spot many, many times. But the Word of God isn't just this thing that defends us. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it enables us to go from this defensive posture into an offensive posture, where we begin to move forward within the power of the Word of God, reclaiming the territory that's been stolen from us. Not just cowering, trying to survive. Bold and able to attack and able to reclaim territory. It enables us to go on offense. So that's why we read the Word, so that we don't have to just always play defense all the time. The Word of God is a sword of the Spirit. Romans 10:17. Feel free to mark these passages, even put little notes down by them so that you'll remember it better when I talk about it next year. Romans 10, there's no mystery here. Every year we're going to immerse ourselves in this topic to try to encourage ourselves and to encourage one another to read the Word. So make notes, highlight. Because I want it to just really get in our heart. 10:17. And this is so cool. I wish I knew the very best thing I was going to tell you this morning. It's all the best, but this is the best right now. 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. How many of you wish you had more faith? Read the Bible. Is that not what it's telling us? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, hearing has multiple things. I mean, like, you're hearing the word right now. Some of you listen to great preaching throughout the week and you hear the word that way. Some of you actually put in a tape and listen to the word of God. Some of you have conversations with each other in which the word of God is spoken to each other with power and conviction. And all of those are helpful. But boy, this is the most concentrated form of word of Christ that you can get right here. This is essence of Word of God. You listen to me, you get a bunch of Dan Marshall mixed in. This is essence of Word of Christ. And what happens? What does this Word of Christ do? It produces faith. You know what? Sometimes I get a little carried away. But look, if I don't want to hear it. If you're saying you're struggling to believe and you're not reading your Bible, I don't want to hear about it. Quit it. You're struggling to believe? Of course you're struggling to believe. Now, if you're struggling to believe and you're immersed in this book daily, then I'm going to prescribe? Double dose. You're still struggling? I'm going to prescribe triple dose. This, the word of Christ, produces faith. Say, how? You say, man, that person has such strong faith. It comes from the Word. You can have it. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. You want faith? It's a source. I mean, there's more to it than just the Word of God. It comes from Christ, through the Spirit, but it's just energized by the Word. Now, this is a passage that we could spend our whole time on. Turn to Psalm 119. And I'm just going to hit some highlights. As we think about the Word of God. And so I'm going to hurry and start reading them. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? And if you're following along in the ESV, these might be NIV. So don't let that throw you off. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. The word of God purifies us as we know it and live according to it. It purifies us. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How elegant and simple is that? You're sick of sin? Then hide his word in your heart. Verse 25, I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. Man, I know you wonderful, amazing people. And so many times as your pastor, I see you in that place where you really feel like you're dying, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, relationally, and all of this. You need life. God will preserve your life according to his word. You just get in it and let him do his thing. Verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Are you weak? Read the word. My soul is weary with sorrow. Oh, I just read that. Verse 50, my comfort in suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. When we are really hurting, when we are really suffering, we need to be in the Word so that we can hear the Lord's promise to us over and over and over. He is going to preserve our life, our ultimate life. Is safe in him. 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I talk to people at least every week who are seriously struggling with a lack of direction. Dan, help me figure this out. Help me find some direction. And what I want you to know is, yes, I'll be glad to try to do that, but what I'm going to do is try to bring the word to bear on your situation. If you want direction, if you want a light for your path, what do you think you should do? Do you think you should pray and ask for guidance? Okay, do that. But God's going to say, I told you what to do. Read it. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You want to know where to go? Read the Bible. And see, you can't just wait until you have a decision to make, because this is a big book with lots of words. How do you know which page to read? You don't. So the only way to avoid that is to read it all over and over and over and over. He's giving light to your path. Read it. Sustain me in verse 116. According to your promise, and I will live. It doesn't say word there, but God's promise is his word. And he sustains us with his promises. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Man, when I'm suffering, when you're suffering, the promises of God can give us great hope and great comfort. 133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Beautiful how the word of God directs us into holy freedom. Psalm 119, 154, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. I just love that. Because how many of you ever need to be revived in this long journey of pursuing Christ and getting to know him? Man, you want to be revived? Read the word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. Have you had that opportunity to just to be in the word on a regular basis and then discover treasure just that fills you with more joy than if you found a big check in your mailbox? That's, read the word. That will happen. I let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. You want understanding? Read the Bible. Let my supplication, this is 170. The last one was 169. 170, let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Man, we need deliverance. It comes to us from the word of God. John 17, 17. I'm gonna speed through these. John 17, 17, Jesus said it so beautifully. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to make us holy. And there in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus is praying that we would be sanctified in the truth. How can we be sanctified, really set apart, really holy in the truth? Well, it's by the word. So we read the word. God uses it to make us holy. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. It's another famous scripture. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Here's what'll happen if you invest yourself in the word of God. You will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. You want to be fruitful and prosperous no matter what the circumstances? Invest yourself in the word of God. Okay, so with all these benefits, what should we do? I love Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, he says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord of hosts. Your words were found. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pile of them on this table right out here, and I encourage you to take one home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to look anywhere. In fact, most of you carry 30 versions on your phone. We don't have to look anywhere. We don't have to go anywhere for the Word of God. In general. Unless you get like stranded, fall off of a cruise ship and end up on a desert island. And then you're stuck with what you have hidden in your heart. But apart from that scenario, you've got access to this Word. And so, read it. Read it. The Lord wants to make you prosperous. And don't lump me in with a bunch of freaks when I use that word prosperous. I mean it in the fullest extent of the prosperity of Christ and not some slick shyster with a Lamborghini and a Rolex. I'm talking about the prosperity of Jesus. He wants to make you prosperous. He wants to make you fruitful. He's going to do that as you and I meditate on the Word of God. It's an incredible thing. We eat it. We feed on it. 1 Thessalonians. So what do? Since the Word is so good, we read it. We feed on it. Second thing is we believe it. I already read 1 Thessalonians 2:13, but the power of this Word of God, the Word of God that is at work in us, is at work in us who believe. There's a qualification. You got to believe it. As we believe it, the Word of God works in us. The third thing is meditate on it. You may be familiar with First Joshua 1:8, this book shall not, book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but out of your mouth. It doesn't mean you don't speak it. It means you're constantly meditating on it, like a cow chewing his cud. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be faithful to do according to everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We meditate on the word of God so that we can do the word of God. And it produces immense, it is an immense blessing. It doesn't produce blessing. Like if I'm good, I get blessed. No, the goodness is the actual blessing, okay? We're able, the blessing comes as we meditate and believe on the word of God. Do the word of God. That's Joshua 1:8. Meditate on it so you may be faithful to do it. And Joshua 1:8 encourages both. We meditate on it so that we can do it. And finally, I think I might have said this. Read the Bible. Don't just focus on the verses that you like. Don't just play this Christian roulette game where you open the Bible and look, God, I got to have a word from you. Please give me a word. I understand the heart of that. I do. But y'all know what happened to that poor guy who did that, right? I can't remember exactly how it goes, but he was seeking a word from the Lord, and he did that, and when he put his finger on the passage, he opened his eyes with confident expectation, and the verse he read was, and Judas went out and hanged himself. And he thought, I'm going to give the Lord another chance. I think he messed that one up. So then he turned and he put his finger and he looked in and it said, go and do thou likewise. Don't play that game. I'm serious. How many of, now this is, don't lie. Don't make anything up. Okay. Honest engine. But how many of you have ever done that and kind of thought, you know, I think I actually did get a word from the Lord? Amen? Come on. I have. Am I the only one? Okay. So I'm not saying the Lord can't do that. The Lord can. But the scripture says, do your best to show yourself as one approved. A workman who correctly handles the word of truth, who does not need to be ashamed. See, can the Lord speak to you like that? Absolutely. But does he have an expectation of you that you should invest yourself in his word and know his word, and so that when you are struggling, when you are in need, you might actually know where to look instead of just have to, okay? He does. He has that expectation. So, read the word. And then finally, Matthew 4:4, I love Jesus. It's an incredible thing. Jesus, who was God, when he was tempted by the devil to turn stones into bread, said of himself and everyone who had gone before and everyone who would come after, man does not live by bread alone, but how? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I love you, church. I love you with my whole heart, and I am desperate for you to know God through his word so that you can believe in him and that he can accomplish all his purposes for you. And that's why next year at this time I'm going to beg you to read it again and multiple times throughout the year. See, this is why. Look at what all we are forfeiting by not reading the scripture. I'll close with Deuteronomy 32:47. This is one of my wife's lifetime scriptures. As Moses was talking about the importance of the word of God for the people in Deuteronomy 32:47, he said, these are not just idle words for you. They are your life. These are not idle words for us, church. They're our life. The word of God is your life because these words are of Christ and about Christ. And as we believe, the Spirit imparts the very life of Christ to us through His Word. Do you want to live? Do you want to really live? Then read God's Word. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your Word. What an man, there were generations. There were untold generations of people who had an effective relationship with you by faith, who knew virtually nothing of your Word. They never held a printed copy in their hand. And those people who loved you and longed for you and wanted more of you, they would slap us upside the head if they knew that we had access to the whole Word of God, multiple copies all around us all the time, and didn't read it. So, Jesus, thank you for sustaining your church by the power of your Spirit. But thank you for this incredible gift that you've given us in the Word of God right here, right now. And I do pray for every man and woman and boy and girl in this congregation. There's none too old and there are none too young. I pray that you would help us to avail ourselves of the resource of your Word, to do it now, to do it regularly, to do it daily for the rest of our lives, so that you can accomplish all of your purposes in us and through us by the power of your Spirit as we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand on your feet, we'll have a time of worship.